Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm Kim.
I'm John.
And it's wedding season here on the horror podcast, and we are fulfilling our Junely duties with two spooky and love-filled horror movies. I'm trying to do very radio voice, have you noticed?
I mean, it's very fitting for this movie, that's for dang sure.
Yeah, that's definitely going to come up as one of my good things in a minute or two.
Stay tuned to that radio dial.
So we are doing Something Borrowed, Something Boo, with two spooky features surrounding marriage.
Yeah, marriage, ghosts, the afterlife, and murder most foul.
Dun, dun, dun.
We're talking about Haunted Honeymoon this week, the Gene Wilder cult classic. I wish I could just say classic, but this movie did not do very well when it came out. It was a footnote in a pantheon of horror comedy history, which I only learned as an adult because little old baby John watched this on VHS over and over and over. This was on one of those bootleg tapes my parents had where they just taped everything off HBO, and I consumed this movie daily.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I believe it to be true, so I'm going to say that it's fact. I think you introduced this film to me.
That's fun. That sounds like something I'd do.
I don't remember having seen it before. And you very much treated it like it was appalling that I had not seen it.
Yeah, because I had assumed everybody liked it as much as young Frankenstein. In my mind, it's like,
I thought you were going to say liked it as much as young John.
Well, that too. But like for me, I do not remember a time without The Haunted Honeymoon. I was a little baby boy when I watched this movie for the first time.
Okay, so because this is your film this week, not saying next week's film is my film because I haven't seen it yet.
But you insisted on us watching it. So
it had a really
good
trailer.
It's gonna be yours. You know, we'll talk about that next week.
It had a real good trailer. Because this is your film,
yeah,
you're gonna kick off the three good things.
Easy to do.
Anybody that hasn't seen Haunted Honeymoon, three reasons why they should.
Yeah, well, if you haven't seen Haunted Honeymoon, it is a horror comedy, sort of a
Haunted House hijinks.
Haunted House hijinks. It's like the comedy chillers of the 1930s.
Bugs Bunny Halloween special.
Oh, that's a great description. Yeah, it's like Hold That Ghost or anything Abbott and Costello did, right? Old Dark House, that classic. In fact, it's probably ripping from Old Dark House more than any movie.
Yeah, probably.
But good thing number one, and the real reason you should check this out, all of the special effects, and there are a ton of special effects in this movie, are done in camera using the same techniques
really?
That would have been used in the 1930s. Gene Wilder, who directed it also, insisted that they essentially make this movie as though it was a 1930s production.
That's fun. I was wondering, too, because while we were watching it, there's a scene where a newspaper
God,
spins,
it's so
on,
good.
Spins overlaid on a scene, and you were like, wow.
What a technical achievement.
I was like, John, it's a newspaper. But now knowing that they did it, I'm a little impressed.
Everything's in camera.
I'm just a little impressed.
Okay, for someone who's never seen the movie before, what's good thing number two?
Good thing number two is that this movie is themed around, and you get an abundance of, in the beginning, vintage radio murder mystery broadcasts.
Yes.
If you're like me and you love ADR, added sounds, footsteps, thunderstorms, you get it so much in this movie, and I love it.
Well, the other added benefit is that you see how they do it. You're in the studio of an old-timey radio play, and oh, the storm is rolling in, and a creaky door has opened. You see somebody do all of that stuff live, in time, with the rest of the story. It's brilliant.
I love that. Every single time we watch a broadcast of a retro radio show, it makes me want to do one for a podcast, to do a live recording.
Has to be
with
live.
All the added sound. Oh, wait, it would have to be.
Yeah, you can do anything in post, but live, that's something.
But
special.
You'd have to broadcast it on Twitch or YouTube or something just to prove that it is, because with AI and just with how everything is done nowadays, you'd have to be able to see it being made. But I would love that so much. I wish we had the time and the resources to do a horror mystery like once a month or something. That would just be my dream.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
I would be the thunderstorm lady.
You'd just be rolling the crank to make that weird sound.
Rider and thunderstorm lady.
Shaking a sheet. Yeah. Okay, well, good thing number three. This movie has a stacked cast of performers. Everybody in this movie is hilarious. Maybe not everybody. 90% of the people in this movie are absolutely hilarious.
I think people are giving it their all. Just sometimes they're giving it in the wrong places.
And nobody is given more than Gilda Radner. Gilda Radner... okay, let's just address...
Are we getting the sad out of the way?
Let's get the sad out of the way.
I don't want to.
Taken too soon.
I thought we
soon.
Could just pretend it just didn't.
It's gonna... If we do it now, we don't have to bring it up later.
Okay.
We take a quick little pause
this
before we go to the trailer.
This is her last appearance. She goes diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and then she died.
Right? Oh. And she's married to Gene Wilder.
And they were in love. And
they were so
movie,
much in love.
This is the last time he directed anything, too.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to...
Because his heart was broken.
I don't want to bring up every sad... Like, the life is cruel, and they will take everyone you love away from you. But they gave us the gift of Haunted Honeymoon. Ugh. It's so great to see them on screen. They have such incredible chemistry, and she's fucking hysterical.
She is such a darling. Yeah. I just love her so much.
Yeah. Mm. We've, it's,
how do we move on?
The world would have been a better place with more Gilda Radner. She is so goddamn funny in this movie. And Gene Wilder wrote it, not especially for her, but they had worked together previously on a couple movies. He directed her in a feature before this one. And he was starting to see, like, because he knew already that she was a comedic genius. She's a powerhouse on Saturday Night Live. In an era where Saturday Night Live was not incredible, her stand-up comedy was astounding. And he started to see that she was becoming a screen performer, and he did use this as a vehicle for the both of them. And Gene Wilder gets a lot of screen time in this movie, obviously, but Gilda Radner steals every goddamn scene she's in. She gets an opportunity to be scared, to be tough, to be obviously hilarious. She's got a dance number with Dom DeLuise.
That dance number is so random.
And it's not a great song, but I'm here to champion it. Anyway, those are three reasons why you should check out Haunted Honeymoon. If you haven't seen it, you really gotta seek this one out. It's harder to find. It's definitely not available illegally for free on the Internet Archive. But also, you know, there are VHS copies of this movie at thrift stores all across America.
Yeah, I was looking at ours when we were watching it last night. We got it for $5.
Yeah, we paid $5 for this movie. You could have gotten this for 70 cents 15 years ago. The problem is the thrift stores know how hungry horror fans are for VHS, and they've jacked those prices up. They slapped a zero on the end of it, and we're still paying for it. But it's well worth it. It's worth its weight in gold. Please, if you haven't seen it and you love Young Frankenstein, seek out Gene Wilder's Haunted Honeymoon. Here's a little taste. We're going to show you the trailer, and we get back... Definitely not gonna cry.
Show you with your ears.
It should have been the happiest moment of their lives. The night they came home to be married at the house of Great Aunt Kate. But it turned into a haunted honeymoon.
I know that one of you is a werewolf. Oh, oh. All over.
Someone or something is trying to scare them to death.
Now, if anything frightens you, anything at all, you just holler.
Holy baloney, here we go again.
I just found Cousin Francis in my bed.
Was he wearing a dress?
Yes, he was.
Just ask him to leave, sir. Tell him you have a headache.
Whatever happens,
who knows if any of us shall ever see the morning.
They have to be ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready!
1, 2!
Spread your loving arms, clear out of space.
Beat it, while you're still healthy.
You do the Eagle Rock with style and grace.
Yes, sir! It's the biggest thrill of my life.
You put your left foot out.
Now you'd think this would frighten me.
And bring it back.
It's not what you think.
And that's what we come for in the jack.
Well, it's partly what you think, but wait. Oh, wait.
Starring Gene.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa.
Wilder.
Ah!
Gilda Radner.
Larry.
Oh, this thing's pinching my butt.
And Dom DeLuise in his most demanding role.
Oh, it's so complicated.
Haunted Honeymoon.
Haunted Honeymoon is currently sitting at a far spooky 5.6 out of 10, a terrifying 18% on Rotten Tomatoes with a 53% audience score. Even the audience doesn't love this movie. And a horrifying 2.9 out of 5 on Letterboxd, which is bullshit. Like, I put my cards on the table. This movie's a 4 out of 4, baby.
Okay, so I'm just going to get this out of the gate.
Yeah.
This movie makes no sense, John.
Of course. Okay.
The plot is an afterthought. I like it more. So we recently rewatched Transylvania 65,000.
Yeah.
For the Patreon Fiend Club.
Another movie that makes no sense.
For one of our monster mashups. Uh-huh. And I like Haunted Honeymoon better.
You are being so cautious. Here.
Both of them are these haunted house monster hijinks movies that don't know what they're doing.
There are plenty of movies that I like that shouldn't work, that don't make any sense.
This movie's a lot sweeter. It's a lot more endearing. I love all of the scenes. Do I follow a plot? Question mark? No.
The plot is the plot is simple. Let me give you the plot right here.
It's less important, is what I will say.
Okay, look.
It's not the most important thing of this murder mystery we're watching.
Jesus Christ.
I'm just getting it out of the way. So okay, you look. Don't hit me the whole time.
The plot of Haunted Honeymoon is as follows.
If you have to read it, I'm going to be real.
No, I just wasn't sure what Vicky's last name was. But Larry Abbott, played by Gene Wilder, and Vicky Pearl, played by Gilda Radner, are huge names in radio. They're massive stars. And they have a program, a series that they're working on right now called Haunted Honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea is that they're on their honeymoon, but terrible things are happening. There's storms and weird people and monsters. Maybe my husband is a werewolf. And before the finale of that, like in the week between the penultimate episode and the finale of that episode on the radio show, they are going off to themselves get married at Larry's family estate.
And also get shock therapy by his psychiatrist uncle, very weirdly introduced and very weirdly displayed on screen every single time, like this suspicious, mysterious character who's going to scare him to death.
Played by legendary character actor Paul Smith, who no one knows but me. He's the landscaper who loves his chainsaw, like maybe romantically
this
loves
comes
his
up
chainsaw
so
in the movie
often.
Pieces. It's important that people know who he is. We have to people the scene. It's a radio program, Kim. We have to paint a picture for them.
Oh, you talk about this guy way too much for how little screen time he gets in everything he's in.
Steals the show. The camera loves him, Kim. Anyway, so B plot of the movie. Yeah, Larry's a little neurotic. He is at the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, this is newly neurotic. Like all of a sudden he's afraid of thunderstorm sound effects.
Yeah, things are changing in his life. He's finally getting some success. They've got the number one show on the radio. He's about to get married to the love of his life. But like something is amiss. Everything should be perfect. But there's something boiling inside him that's about to boil over. So it's all coming to a head here, right? It's great plotting, if you ask me.
It's a great setup.
It's a great setup, and that's where Kim stops.
I love the plot they're going for.
Yeah, Paul Smith, who is the actor Paul Smith, is playing a character, Dr. Abbott. He's related to Larry. He's got this new crazy idea for a shock therapy treatment because the radio station wants to fire Larry. They got to get rid of him before he has a bigger scene on set. He was crying last week. He's basically turning into a werewolf during tonight's program. They can't have him ruin next week's episode. This doctor comes in, says he's gonna solve all their problems. He's going to scare Larry to death. Which, that is silly. Like, I'm going to cure him by scaring him to death. It's kind of like stealing someone's hiccup.
That's like in the House on Haunted Hill remake with that weird chamber room that makes Jeffrey Rush go
a totally sane
banana.
It makes him a totally sane person. Well, it saves the day in the finale of the movie.
It turns sane people crazy and crazy people sane.
So this doctor, his uncle, I believe, is going to use this opportunity at the family estate. Everybody's in on it except his fiance because she can't be trusted to be unbiased. They're all convening to create this scenario where Larry is going to have to confront all of his fears and get it over and
but
done.
But there's no setup for that other than the scene.
What are you talking? There are
the uncle is like, scare you to death.
There are so many furtive glances. What are you talking about? Everybody's like,
Yeah, but then the aunt has also changed her will to make Larry the sole heir, so people are trying to murder him. He's getting married. So we pick up and drop these plots scene per scene.
So Larry, yes, is essentially the favorite child of his dear sweet aunt. Played by Dom DeLuise, Aunt Kate. By the way, Dom DeLuise won a Razzie Award for best, or I guess worst, supporting actress for this movie.
Which is a crime, because I think she is great.
Yeah, the highlight of the movie. It's truly some of the funniest scenes of this movie. Anytime where we're not getting a laugh from Gilda Radner, it's from Dom DeLuise's Aunt Kate. Now, yes, there is a C-plot where she has changed her will last minute. Originally, when she died, the estate would be divided equally among all of her children and her grandchildren and also Larry, just like the family. Like, it would all get divided out. But because they're all money-grubbing, hungry, crazy people who don't actually love her, she's decided to leave her entire estate to Larry. Now, technically, nobody knows about this except for her lawyer and herself.
And somebody who is eavesdropping.
And so now the goal for whoever this mysterious person was is to kill Larry so that way the estate goes back divided equally among everybody.
See, this is a great setup because there are people trying to fake murder him and then people trying to real murder him in this haunted mansion. If it had been set up a little bit more clear and then we had to establish like, okay, hijinks begin now.
Yeah.
It would have been a really fun cat and mousey game throughout the film, but I just spend a lot of it being confused.
That's so funny to me because it feels so much like
some of us haven't watched this a trillion times, John.
I wasn't like writing essays about it as a child. I was mostly just watching it because I thought it was funny, and they show how some special effects are done. Like, this is a perfect movie for kids to watch that are getting into horror movies. There's also so we did forget one confusing little detail in the beginning. Where a character is killed. It's the opening of the movie. We see the estate. We see thunder and lightning and organ music. And then a body flops out of the window, having been stabbed into the back. Like, it's not what you think. Okay, it is what you think, but it's so complicated. That's Cousin Francis, who inexplicably was wearing a wig and a dress. We don't know why. I don't think they actually ever address it. But the implication here is that somebody tried to kill Aunt Kate. And thought that Cousin Francis was Aunt Kate, which is why she amended her will. Because clearly one of her relatives, one of her children, one of her grandsons or nephews or whatever is trying to kill her. So she's going to give it all to sweet old Larry because he's the only person that she doesn't suspect of being a murderer.
Okay.
There's also a brilliant moment when everybody gets together and Aunt Kate with no fanfare.
No lead up, no nothing. This is the only moment where I completely justify a random plot accusation.
Oh, it's fucking brilliant. We're having a nice dinner. She's, oh, yes. No, Larry has found such a nice woman. You're such a beautiful girl. I love you. 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 Ding, 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 ding. Hello, everyone. I know one of you is a werewolf. Just no introduction whatsoever. It's like, I saw you in the garden. I know you're here to kill me. Anyway, let's go have coffee and cake. Brilliant.
It was great. It was so good. One of my other favorite Aunt Kate moments is how she insists on going down the grand stair railing.
Yes.
On her butt. And it's the squeaky sound every time. It's just a cheesy gag that just gets me.
It almost sounds like a big loud fart.
But what a haunted house staple to have that grand staircase and then yeah. use it for like a completely innocuous gag. I love
yes,
it.
Yes, absolutely. She's so, you know, so dapper and formal. Dapper? No, not dapper. What am I?
Debonair.
Debonair, yeah. And she's so put together, prim and proper. And for her to slide down the banister is the funniest fucking thing in the world. She's also supposed to be like 80. That's something a child would do. But she never wastes an opportunity to go down the banister. I love it.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Now, obviously, we have a whole bunch of family that are also meeting up for this wedding. They're clearly also here to shock Larry. We've got some cousins. We've got some relatives. Some in-laws is what I mean to say.
There's a fucking cousin that they introduce like he's fucking Dracula that has nothing to do with anything.
He's the goddamn best.
Okay, the special effects surrounding him, fucking marvelous.
Yeah, he's married to one of the cousins.
Does it make sense? No.
He's one of the in-laws. He's creepy as fuck. His eyes glow like fire when he meets the maid for the first time at the door.
And now knowing that everything is done in camera, there's such a good moment. It's maybe the second or the third time he does that weird eye effect that he has.
Yeah.
That means nothing.
Yeah.
But they're in like the ballroom. Larry looks at him. The light around him darkens.
Yeah.
And so it's just the silhouette of him and the white eyes.
God damn.
And then the silhouette fades out. So it's just eyes and blackness.
God, I love this movie.
How fucking scary is that to have in a horror comedy that's just silly?
Right? You'd think there's something supernatural up with this guy. Like, he's actually pure evil.
Yeah, I was expecting him to be Dracula.
But he's just a really dope magician. Like, that's what we learn. He's got a trunk of secrets that he doesn't want anybody to know about. And it's all just makeup and little trinkets and items, like a fake lightning thunder machine, masks. Like, he is essentially the guy who is bringing in the tools to scare Larry to death. Like,
and even though nobody has had a discussion about this on camera.
Not on camera. Who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. We got a really great scene with the psychiatrist at the radio station explaining everything with a overlay shot where we see the estate in his forehead, like a double exposure shot. That is so funny and weird, but goddamn does it look good.
Yeah, no, I loved it.
Everything in this movie is so fun. The retro throwback of it all, just how they dive headfirst into making, actually Gene Wilder described it this way. He described it as, we're making a black and white movie in color. And it is 100% that.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I was like, is it in color?
Yeah, in your memory, you think it's black and white,
yeah,
right? Yeah, and it's not like they try and take the color out of everything. Like, they don't try and saturate it or desaturate it or anything. It's just that the techniques are all 1930s. And it, yes, it is a little outlandish. But when you go back and you watch those movies from the 1930s, they're so off the wall and crazy. But you believe it because you want to, because you're having a good time. It's fun.
The scenes individually are all fantastic. My...
But when you watch each of these scenes back to back,
yes,
that's a no.
Exactly.
Okay, well, the scare factory begins in earnest night one. They're all sleeping in separate bedrooms because it's the 1930s.
And
everybody's polite.
Aunt Kate will not allow this.
No, they're not married yet. She loves Vicky more than any other girl he's ever met, but you better not. You bread loaf away, you
I
two.
Love every time they try to kiss, she puts her hand.
Even the finale of the movie.
When like, they're at the altar.
No, not now. So fucking funny. The scene that floored me as a kid, where I was like, this is
it the
height
the wall
of filmmaking.
Guy?
It's the wall guy. Gene Wilder is in bed.
Never explained, by the way.
We see... Shut the fuck up. I'm tired of this bullshit. This has now become a fight. This used to be a discussion. Now we're putting the gloves on. Gene Wilder's going to bed, and then somebody walks down the wall toward him. It's impossible, like a Freddy Krueger room.
It's marvelous.
Yeah, and he has the silliest reaction to all of it. This was not only mind-blowing special effect for Little John, but also the absolute height of comedy, where we see this, like, kind of face staring back at him. And his reaction is like, obviously this is fake. I'm just having a nervous breakdown. All I have to do is simply reach out and touch it, and I will see that it's not there and it's not real. And when he gets there and he realizes that it is a very touchable face, his reaction is to put his fingers in its mouth and his ears and to pick its nose. It's so dumb. It's the best.
I'm sorry. This is not conveyed on audio, but I am shaking my head.
I should have recorded last night. I was laughing like this. Like, I'm laughing thinking about it. Kim laughed, too. I want to let you all know right now.
No, I think it's a fucking great.
Kim had a great time watching this movie that she said sucked.
I have not said that. I was just getting out of the way that, plot-wise, something I think to be important some of the time.
Yeah.
A little sparse.
Okay, whatever. What kind of plot is there? I'm looking at our DVD shelf. I'm like, nah, most of these movies have a plot. Anyway, what are
but
some...
But I do love that fucking wall gag. Yeah. I think that's another one of the best parts of the movie.
So later on in the movie, when Gene Wilder is trying to find Vicky, because at some point he realizes something's up, but he can't find Vicky. They've roped her in. They finally let her know what they're doing.
They didn't tell us they roped her in. She is a great bride ghost, though.
Yeah, she floats in his window like a vampire from Salem's Lot. She's like, Larry, come find me, Larry. And then we get a great
Isn't
shot.
Isn't that original in the OG Haunting?
Maybe.
I think so.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like a staple from that. I mean, you could probably find it in a bunch of 1930s movies. But we also see from the opposite side outside where she's strung up and it's given her a wedgie. And she's like, let me down. I got to go to the bathroom. But while he's running around, he comes into the bedroom of one of the in-laws, somebody who's married into the family, Montego, the man with the crazy eyes, essentially Dracula. And we see his trunk and it's full of masks and gears and pulleys and special equipment. So that's how we explain the crazy.
So the wall guy. He wasn't of the murder plot. He was of the scared to death plot.
Yes, he's of the scared to death plot. Now, Jonathan Pryce, the other nephew.
He's such a great performance in this because I know him as Mr. Dark from Something Wicked This Way Comes. So I'm terrified of him.
Already,
and as the cousin, when he's introduced, he's very zany. He's very quirky.
He seems coked up.
He's infatuated with his girlfriend. He's got no money.
But his girlfriend is Larry's ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
Like, it's like, did you bring her here to break up the marriage? Like, what's going on?
But he gets to play such a wild, crazy character, but then he also gets to be the villain you expected him to be.
Ah, you expected him.
I don't mean necessarily expected because of the movie, but expected because of the actor.
Oh, just because. Oh, okay, sure. All right, yeah. I mean, the thing that I think, if you haven't seen Something Wicked This Way Comes, you might recognize Jonathan Pryce from Brazil, Terry Gilliam's Brazil. It's like a 1984 style story. He's such a good actor. And yes, he is always wild and unpredictable. He's in a class that you would put Nicolas Cage in, you know, like they're like,
Jack Nicholson or just like, do I trust you? Are you doing the truth?
Yeah, it's later revealed.
You can't handle the truth.
It's later revealed that he is the murderer behind the subplot of the movie. And so the werewolf was a plant. He had put the werewolf there. He also killed the man.
Werewolf, also a plot.
He killed the man that was playing the werewolf. He's the one that killed Uncle or Cousin Francis at the beginning of
there
the movie.
There is indeed a werewolf in this movie.
And it is such a good scene when we reveal that he's the killer.
That is a very well done scene.
Because throughout, like so many horror movies that you've seen, we only see him in whispers off screen.
And knives being revealed through secret compartments above the bed.
There are so many secret compartments. Like, this house was made for murdering. But yeah, he's mostly just a black gloved hand. And at some point we see this black gloved hand snip the phone line so nobody can call out to call the police. And when things start to get really crazy, they discover the body of Fister, the butler, who's obviously supposed to be Fester. He's a real kooky character.
He gets more screen time than pretty much everyone. Like,
he's in it a lot.
It goes Gene Wilder, Gilda Radner, Fester the Butler.
Yeah, and then Fester the Butler two more times.
Fister the Butler.
Fister the Butler two more times, and then the rest
and
of the
And then Aunt
cast.
Kate.
When they find him, they are all heartbroken. And that's where we decide, like, well, we actually have to call the police now because...
Wait, the butler dies?
The butler is murdered.
What?
Yeah, okay. Kim fell asleep during
no,
this movie.
Wait, he dies?
Yes.
But I thought he was helping them clean up the bodies because he wanted to protect Gene Wilder.
Yes.
And they were playing an accordion, yeah, and they were dancing over the corpse, and it was fun.
I keep trying to, like, not gloss over, but it's just like, we don't need to get into every detail, and the more I try to explain it, the more I'm just helping build a case for Kim that this movie is overly complicated.
Well, you've completely lost me, and I'm a co-host.
Who watched the movie less than 24 hours ago. Yeah, so Jonathan Pryce, the villain, has been putting these dead bodies in Larry's bed. He's trying to
frame
Larry.
And then, like, down a coal chute into the basement.
And down a coal chute into the basement. There's an incredible scene that's, like, out of Whose Line Is It Anyway style comedy where Gene Wilder is
pretending. So the police have showed up because they see fake lightning and pink lighting over this haunted mansion. And they're like, what the fuck is going on up there? Better go check it out. And then they end up in the basement. Gene Wilder has just beat up the butler, but they're also on top of a corpse. And the legs are sticking out. And Gene Wilder is pretending to own those legs. And
yes.
It's just a fucking hilarious gag that goes on way too long. And I'm very happy about
it. It's so funny. It's very visual. You got to check it out. It's so funny.
Just silly.
Just, yeah, absolutely. This movie is silly. That's the brand of comedy. And as long as it's one of those types of movies where once you laugh once, you're good.
It's true.
So just do yourself a favor.
It breaks you down.
Laugh early. Find something that you don't find 100% funny. Just laugh out loud. Just give yourself that gift. Like, ha, 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 ha. And then that's the unlock code. You have to laugh once.
That's going to be my new unlock laugh.
Do that in the theater from now on. Real quick, TLDR, Fister the Butler thinks that Larry is a murderer because he's a goofy character. Only briefly, who flip-flops between, like, you'll tell him one thing and then he'll completely forget about it. Sometimes he's deaf, sometimes he's not. He's kind of like Igor in The Young Frankenstein. He's a little unpredictable. He thinks Larry's the murderer because he finds these bodies. He then learns that Larry is completely innocent. He helps him get away from the police discovering them hiding bodies in the graveyard a second time. And then after that, the killer shows up trying to kill Larry, but Fister puts himself in the way and dies.
Aww.
And then that's the body that they all discover. They also discover the, you know, cousin.
Is this when Larry gets buried alive?
This is when Larry gets buried alive.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. So that's where the rest of the family finds Fister's body. They also, I think they discover Cousin Francis and...
all of the other corpses.
All of the other corpses, yeah. Like the guy who was playing the werewolf is also there, which nobody knew about until they were trying to hide Francis's body. Like,
and
shit, there's already a body in here.
It's not a family member, right?
Not a family member. That's where we decide we're going to call the police. Jonathan Pryce takes Gilda Radner inside because she's starting to get worried that she can't find her husband, that Larry's missing. And so he's on the phone and he's talking to the cops. And you, I don't care if you were here 10 minutes ago. You better come now or I'm calling the fucking mayor and you're getting fired in the morning, buddy. And in his explosive anger, he knocks a bunch of stuff off the table. When she goes to pick it up, she sees that the phone line's been cut, so this is obviously bullshit. He can see on her face that she knows it's a lie. And he's
this
like,
is when he turns into the Jonathan Pryce I was expecting.
This is the Jonathan Pryce we know and love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, Larry's not the only actor in the family. And he starts putting on the black gloves and he lunges for Vicky.
And then there's a full-out fight sequence
between
Jonathan Pryce and Gene Wilder, and it is like stunt choreographed.
It's great. So we also have a quick little flashback where Larry does, because of all of the scares and being buried alive, has to confront his own nightmares. He realizes where all this fear comes from. It's because his mother was trying to get married on a stormy night when he was a child. And she's like, don't worry, Larry. Lightning's never killed anyone. And then at the altar before she gets married, lightning strikes her and she dies.
She dies?
She dies.
I thought it just knocked her over.
No, It knocked her over and it fucked him up for life? Come on.
I don't know. Kids exaggerate things.
I think Aunt Kate has raised him.
Oh.
That's why she loves him so much.
Oh.
Like he's one of her own.
That's cute.
Yeah. Now that he's about to get married, especially in the same estate.
The trauma
has resurfaced, yeah. And so like he's finally over it.
So he's really afraid of getting married.
I guess so. He's afraid of Storms getting married, maybe possibly dying on his wedding day or his wife dying on their wedding night.
That's a very Frankenstein fear of him.
Yes, very. But they're able to fight Cousin Charles off. Everything's revealed. And then they have the wedding and everything's happy. It's a real quick ending. I'll give you that. Everybody learns what's going on. Everybody stops Charles. He gets rested. And then like Alfred Hitchcock style, boom, we're at the wedding. Everything's great. And as they're driving off, we see a werewolf in the distance.
You're forgetting the most important thing about the ending.
You're right. I'm confusing like where things happen in the movie. But yes, we pull back. We reveal that we've been in the radio station all along.
And Haunted Honeymoon is a radio broadcast.
We see Dom DeLuise out of the makeup. He's still pretending to be Aunt Kate. Jonathan Pryce is there. He's having a good laugh. He's doing some of the outro like this week's episode was brought to you by Roma Wines. You know, he's doing all that kind of junk. Everybody's having a blast. They're throwing rice at them as they're leaving the studio because they're actually going to go get married in real life. That part was all totally real. But this is like a real War of the Worlds style story, right?
We believed it.
What?
We watched the movie. We watched the broadcast. We believed it was real. And then there was a rug pull that it was not real.
Yes. So, but even the radio stuff at the beginning, I think, was quote unquote fake.
Oh, like that was part of the
real radio program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's like story and story and story.
I would like to rewatch this movie with my eyes closed.
Let's do it. I mean, yeah. You kept saying that at the beginning of the movie, too. Where
just because of the thunder and the lightning and the footsteps and the sherry pour was like, boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, it's a real tragedy this movie didn't do well. In Gilda Radner's memoir, she's got like only a couple lines about it. It's just like, oh, Haunted Honeymoon came out this week. It was a flop.
Aww.
A month worth of, like a month of promoting it, and it was only in the theater for a week.
Aww.
For a week, because the critics panned it.
I read a very great quote from Jonathan Pryce about filming the movie. Mm. Apparently everybody had such a blast
You see that,
They had so much fun. He said that, you know, normally when you break for the day or you have a break in the afternoon where you're not in a few scenes, you go back to your trailer, you take the afternoon off or whatever.
Because it's work.
And he's like, nobody left. Everybody just hung around on chairs and we all just joked and Dom DeLuise entertained everybody.
Just a fucking party.
Nobody left. Everybody just stayed on set all day long.
Gene Wilder and Gilda Radner celebrated their 1-year anniversary on set for Haunted Honeymoon.
That's so cute.
Yeah, man. What? This sounds like it was a blast to make. They did an incredible job. Like, they set the goal. They knew what the tone was. They said, this is the kind of movie we're making. And they hit it out of the park. It's really hard to judge a movie when it first comes out based on the goal. Like, this was the intention. Because when you see it, you come to it with, I don't know, like maybe you had a bullshit day at work and then you see the movie and you didn't like it. Or you just come to it with your own expectations. It's hard to sort of grade a piece of art based on what the objective was, because nobody says that. Like, there's no intro to every movie where people sit down and go, okay, everybody, so here's what we were trying to make. And
this is a time capsule.
Yeah, it's just people weren't into it mm-hmm. at the time. People didn't like it. I really think they did an incredible job. Like, the same way that people praise Young Frankenstein for essentially just being a universal classic monsters movie, Gene Wilder really fucking made a 1930s chiller, and everybody knew what kind of movie they were in. Everybody on screen. There was no confusion about what they were doing. And goddamn, it's a home run for what they were trying to accomplish. It's a shame nobody likes it.
Yeah, I think it was just a really hard movie to sell and for audiences to understand necessarily what it was.
Yeah. You know, frankly, if it had come out 5-10 years later, it might have done better. Because the early 90s, we started to see like this 1930s resurgence. I think they were just like a
Clue,
little too
motherfuckers.
Soon. Clue, even like Batman. Everything had this vague 1930s.
Batman's kind of 40s, but sure.
Okay, whatever. Like old, pre, maybe possibly during World War II aesthetic. We started to see more 1930s gangster movies and stuff. This movie would have sit really well in that time frame, mm-hmm. but it'll exist on our VHS shelf forever.
I just think people aren't appreciative of horror classics, but horror fans. And so it's like a niche within a niche.
Yeah.
And it's just too niche.
Yeah, I'll say, when I bring this movie up with people, there are two reactions. Either I've never heard of it, or that's one of the greatest fucking movies ever made. So, like, I think we just need to get more people to see it.
And to laugh really early on.
And to laugh really early on. You know, Kim's going to take that advice to heart next time she watches it.
Okay, so I'm just being a bit of a dick. I'm going to give this movie a 3 out of 4. Like, I did really enjoy it.
I'm sorry for giving you a hard time. I'm glad you liked it. It sounded like you were having
fun. It's silly. It's fun. All of the visual effects are fantastic.
Yeah.
Why some of them occur, I don't know. But I love them when they're there.
Okay, well, that's just our opinion.
Did you give yours a rating?
I rated it very early on, before we even started. It's a 4 out of 4. There's no doubt. There's no question.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with this film.
Oh, I didn't say that, but it's a 4 out of 4.
Perfect.
Anyway, let us know what you thought of Haunted Honeymoon. We'd love to hear from you. We're dying to talk to people about this movie. At least I am. Hit us up in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord. I know some of you out there, including some of the patrons, have been eagerly waiting for us to talk about this movie. So, you know, Haunted Honeymoon Hive, come out. We want to hear from you.
And if you want even more classic horror stuff, we just finished our
Graveyard Smash
limited series over on Patreon. It took us almost a year of recording, maybe more than a year of recording.
A little over a year.
Where we went through all of the Universal Classic Monsters. Not all of the films, unfortunately, because there's a bazillion of them, but we also paired them with a modern monster. So we talk classic monsters, we talk modern iterations, we talk the history. We just have a whole fun monster fest over there on Patreon over at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. And you can instantly unlock that entire series for a few bucks a month.
We'll be back again next Thursday with another episode of the show, but until then,
another something borrowed, something boo.
That's right, we got another Haunted Honeymoon companion style episode, and it's a movie that neither of us have seen, but I think would double feature really well based on just the trailer that we watched, and we're excited to talk about it. But until then, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy. You don't want to do a fun one?
Ditto.
Do you want to do one?
No, that was great.
Okay.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.